This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
The best bits of Joy Drive.
The term superbug and antibiotic resistance can strike fear into anyone who has to go into hospital, unfortunately. And the last thing you want to do is go in and for one thing and come out with a superbug infection that's resistant to treatment with most antibiotics. Well, in some good news, researchers found a potential weak link in the superbug A. bulmani. And to find out more, we're joined by Professor Amy Kane from the School of Natural Sciences at Macquarie University. Amy, welcome to Joy Drive.
Well, thank you for having me, Warren.
Amy, tell us about this superbug, and have I pronounced it properly? A. bulmani.
Well, with the Australian accent, the way that we say it is Acinetobacter baumannii. But of course, every local region has their way of saying it, so you can feel free to say it how you want.
Okay, great.
How common
is it?
So Acinetobacter is fairly common in hospitals. So it's one of the most common hospital-acquired or hospital-associated infections. So there's thousands of cases sort of worldwide, and it sort of fluctuates depending on sort of if there's world events. So a lot of the infections come from wound infections. A lot of soldiers coming back from war get these infections. But most recently, you might be able to think is something that put a lot of people in hospital, and there's a huge surge after COVID-19 because Acinetobacter was one of the most common secondary bacterial infections that occurred. So we're seeing quite a peak of it at the moment.
What happens when it infects a vulnerable patient?
Yes, so it's pretty nasty. It's what we call it's an invasive infection. So you get things like pneumonia, you get bacteremia like in the blood. And what happens is that usually it finds an entry into the body. These can be, you know, things like breathing machines or catheters in the hospital, but also just, as I mentioned, if you have an open wound or a wound from surgery. When you're in the hospital, if you have a lowered immune system, so for example, obviously with the COVID-19 infections, you get immune dysfunction and things like that, and then they strike when you're at your weakest. So that's why it's a really, really problematic infection for hospitals.
Amy, how tough is this superbug? What's its survival like? Is it easy to kill?
Oh, it is the most tough one that we encounter. I work on a lot of hospital bugs, and this one is just almost impossible to kill. So not only is it resistant to almost all the antibiotics that we have, the WHO has declared a war on it, saying it's the most critical pathogen for us that we need to develop new antibiotics against. But it's also really resilient in the environment. So we find that it can live on hospital surfaces and walls for even up to a year. One study showed that you can dry out this bug completely, what we call desiccate it, so remove all the water, and it can live like that for about a year. And when you rehydrate it, it can infect mice. And in fact, it's even more virulent, more pathogenic when you do that.
So oh, wow.
It's a really tough one, yeah.
And it gets stronger. We're chatting with Professor Amy Kane, School of Natural Sciences from Macquarie University, about a breakthrough in the war against superbugs. Amy, I'm really excited about your research. What have you found?
Yeah, so this was a sort of huge international collaboration that we were working with Germany, the UK, and various institutes throughout Australia. And what we found was that we didn't really know how this bug encounters stress, like why is it so good at withstanding stress. So we did a whole bunch of really cool genomics, which is where I had my training and my background, and my amazing team here, led by Ram Mahajan, did this amazing study where we looked at metal stresses, which is one of the things that you encounter during infection. Sorry, they encounter during infection. Mm-hmm. So as humans, we sometimes try and fight infections using metal stress, and also the bacteria have to encounter a desert of metals when they get into the body. So we wanted to ask how they were dealing with that sort of stress. stress. And we found a new gene or regulator that controls the stress response of the bacteria. And when we removed that gene, we found that those things became completely like little puppy dogs. They were no longer able to infect not only in lab tests, but we tested it in our Galeria model, which is a caterpillar model, and we also tested it in mice to show that this thing is absolutely critical for infection. But not only that, but when we removed this new gene, it also, those bugs couldn't survive any longer in the desiccated state or in hospital walls or things like that. And also, they weren't able to tolerate antibiotics. So we found that this is a major regulator, it's a major breakthrough, that if we can disable this thing, it means that those bugs will no longer be able to infect, they'll no longer be able to colonize hospital surfaces, and we can treat them. So
that's amazing.
We're really happy with that.
So effectively, yeah. It won't be able to, it can't handle any stress. Like before you said, you know, you dry it out and it actually rebounds even stronger. So it won't be able to do that. It'll be like, you know what, nah, I can't handle it, I'm giving up.
Exactly. So we were really pleased to see that it couldn't, it just couldn't survive even for a day in the caterpillars or in the mice, or in the blood of the mice.
I mean, this is fantastic news. So what happens now? How does your research transfer into some sort of new type of antibiotic that could treat this superbug?
Yes, yeah, so one of the core sort of aims of my research and my research group is to develop new antibiotics. So I've worked in the pharmaceutical industry really to try and push development of new antibiotics. As I said, it's really critical that we do this. So one of the first steps of drug development is finding really important antibiotic or drug targets. That's actually one of the hardest things. And then from that, we can screen chemical libraries and we can screen or develop assays to allow us to develop those drugs. But like this target that we found is super well conserved, which means that not only is it a potential drug target for this Acinetobacter baumannii, the hospital pathogen, it's a whole bunch of pathogens that we can use. So it looks like a really promising drug target, yeah.
It's very exciting. Now, before we let you go, tell us a little bit about, you said you tested on caterpillars. Tell us about that. Mm-hmm. Is that a new way of testing?
Yeah, so in the UK and the US, there's a lot of sort of, without going into too much detail, there's a lot of regulation about the three R's, which is sort of ethical removal, reducing, and reduction of the numbers of animals that you're using when you're doing things like developing drugs. And so more and more commonly, we're using animal model alternatives like invertebrates. And this Galeria melanella, which is the caterpillar of the greater wax moth, it's a nasty pathogen of beehives. So it's a good thing to test on. And it just has really good high correlation with mice. So we can do a lot of pre-screening in these caterpillars, and that allows us to reduce the number of mice or higher animal models that we have to use during drug development. So at Macquarie, we have the first Galeria research facility in Australia. And yeah, we're taking on a lot of sort of research right now, looking for new antibiotics and testing them in high throughput screens. Well, so yeah, it's really exciting.
It's really exciting news, Amy. And congratulations on your research results, potentially finding a treatment to some of these superbugs and testing ethically. It's great. Well done.
Yes. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on your show, Warren.
My pleasure. Thanks for joining us on Drive.
Okay. All right. Bye.
Thank you. That's Professor Amy Kane from the School of Natural Sciences at Macquarie University.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.